4. James chapter 4. We've been talking in the book of James about having genuine faith. Chapters 1 through 3 says, if you genuinely are a Christian, you should have these attributes. Christ said on the Sermon on the Mount, if you're going to the kingdom of heaven, you will act this way. But last week, we went and James took a little bit of a turn and talked about conflicting faith, about people who ask amiss and don't exhibit Christian attitudes and their need to actually get saved. And the premise is that there are people that do not know God who think they know God, and they think they're going to heaven based on something other than a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is not to be. Tonight, James kind of continues that train of thought, but there's things that we as Christians can also do in this case when we start judging one another. So we're looking at three verses tonight, James chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. And that passage says this, it says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. That's a cure for all ills. We need to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord and say, Lord, I need salvation. We need to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord and be a better servant, to love Him more. We need to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord and heal all the relationships that are around us. And it says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou? Or who gave you the right? Or who do you think you are that judges another? Judgment can be righteous, or it can be unrighteous. Christ in the Sermon on the Mount, we'll get to that passage here in chapter 7 of Matthew, talks about judge not that ye be not judged. But there are people today, even in God's church, that have a critical spirit. It's their way or no way. It's, I've been wronged and they're the guilty person. And what happens is that when we have a critical spirit, it can choke grace. It can choke the effectiveness of God. It can hold people back. It presents a stumbling block. And people can come in and sense that. And if they come in and sense it, then they say, why do I want this? Why do I want this? I got that out in the world. Folks, the church is supposed to be different. We're supposed to be different. Our families are supposed to be different. And so we need to beware of the critical spirit, because a Christian could do the same thing too. James is still going down the point and saying, look, if you're thinking like this and this is all you think about, you're probably not saved. So tonight we want to look at three things. The first one is the rule, and that could be as in a law or in the rule, as a king rules, of slander and judgment. Going back to the verse, it says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother, speaketh evil, it's the exact same word, of the law, and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of law, but a judge. The word evil in the Greek is kataleo. It's to speak against one, or to criminate. It is, can be properly translated as slander. Now, slander is akin to gossip. Gossip is where you hear something about somebody that's true, And you start telling it around other people, and it leads to friction. Slander is a different thing. I honestly believe we hear slander on the news this week. Where slander is, I'm going to tell something that's false about somebody else to cause them pain. And the issue is that when we're slandering people, we are following the father of slander. The word devil actually means to slander. And so, John chapter 8, verse 44, Christ is talking to the crowd. And he says, ye are of your father the devil, or the slanderer, or the father of lies. And your lust and the lust of your fathers ye will do. James chapter 1. Let every man say, he's tempted when what? He is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin, when it's finished, it bringeth forth death. He says, ye are your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is what? No truth in him. He can speak truth, because when he speaks the scripture, he has to speak it the way God wrote it. But as far as appropriating his life, there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his what? Own. For he is a liar and the father of it. And what is slander? Telling false things about someone to hurt them. And so now we can see that this goes in line with the first part of James chapter 4, where he's talking about lost people. And so that word actually means the unbeliever again. So, can a Christian have his father or her father as the devil? No. But can we submit to him? Yes, go ask Peter. Go ask Peter. We can all turn our back on God. We can all go back to the way. It shouldn't be that way. And so James is saying, if you have genuine faith, you shouldn't be doing this. So the point is why should we not do it? When you slander and you judge other people, what you're doing is you're demeaning them. You are lowering them. You're putting them down when we should be what? Building them up. Ephesians chapter 4 verses 29 through 32 says, let no what? Corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. The same slander would fit in there. Lies would fit in there. Even gossip would fit in there. It covers the whole waterfront. Because here is the litmus test for the Christian. But that which is good to the use of edifying. If we don't have something good to say, don't say anything at all. We're supposed to lift up people and build them up, not tear them down, or so we build ourselves up at their expense. That's the people in the first 10 verses of James chapter 4. That it might what? Minister grace unto the hearers. And folks, whether we like it or not, we're called to be ministers of God. You're saved to be a minister of God. And if you're a minister of God, the only reason you're a minister of God is because of God's grace. And if you're a minister of God's grace and you've received God's grace and you're experiencing God's grace, then you need to show that to other people.
Amen.
Verse 30. Because if we don't do this, we do what 30 says. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. If we slander and lie and tear people down, God in heaven looks down and shakes his head and says, why? Why? I did all this for you. Why are you doing this to them? And then here's a list. And we've gone through this before. Let how much bitterness? Oh, no, no, no. It's just what I want to give up because I want to hold on to some. I have a right to hold on to some bitterness because you don't know what I've been through. We know people like that, right? Let all bitterness and all wrath and all anger and all clamor and all evil speaking the same word, be put away from you with all malice. That's the old person. That's when you're following the father of lies. And be ye what? Kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So say, when we have evil speaking, we're demeaning other people, and that's the result. Words can kill. There was a story of a woman who went to her pastor. And she said, you know, I prided myself in having a sharp tongue. And I always were looking for an opportunity to just kind of, eh. And so one day she was talking to a coworker. And the opportunity came up and she did, eh. And that night, the coworker committed suicide. No, we hear on the news, and that woman said, that was the last time I ever do anything like that. Because it was a contributing factor to that. We see it on the news. We hear it on the news about bullying and all this cyber stuff about saying things and driving people to do incredibly horrific and harmful things to themselves. Yeah, we say, stick and stone can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Not anymore. Words can kill, especially if you're spreading lies. So it demeans people. The second thing, it denies God's authority. God never intended for this to be that way. In John chapter 15, verse 12. Let's all read this one together so we kind of get it in our brain. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. You know, there's a song, this is my commandment, that ye love one another, that your joy may be what?
Full.
I guarantee you, if you're not loving one another, you don't have joy. You don't have peace. You know why? Because you're working against God. You're working against God. It denies God. This is God's commandment. When we're not following God's commandment, we're saying, God, that's okay for my salvation, but I don't have to listen to you. Do your kids get away with it? How come we think that we can get away with it from God? So that's his commandment. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40, a very familiar passage. It says, Jesus said unto him, the guy asked him, he said, what's the greatest commandment of the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang or rest all the law and the prophets. When I was studying for this message, I ran across this one. You might want to take out a piece of paper and write these down. Because in Exodus chapter 20, God gives the Ten Commandments to Moses. And I want you to understand that Christ's purpose is, if you love God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, you're going to keep His commandments. All of them. So, let's look at the Ten Commandments. The first one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. If our love is focused on God, we won't have any other distractions to follow anybody else. That's a good practice for marriages. If you focus your love on your spouse, you won't look at anyone else. So we need a focused love with all our heart. Number two, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Now here's a word that's kind of not politically correct anymore. But for us, it means sold out. Mary, this morning's message, she took the alabaster box, which basically all she had, and she broke it on Jesus. Most people would call that a radical or a fanatical act. Oh, folks, we need to be consumed by God's love. Paul was. Mary was. We need to be. And you know something? If you're consumed by loving someone, nothing will get in the way. And you'll have what? Proper worship. Number three, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You will hold God in such high esteem and think that He's worthy so much that it wouldn't even cross your mind to use Him as a swear word. But I hear Christians that do, and they don't think anything of it. And they think they're good people. Really? Really? And it's not French. People at work do that. They say, pardon my French, because I get mad. Pardon my French. It's not French. It's not French. It's your failure to follow God and hold Him in the proper esteem. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Keep it pure. That's fervent love. Love enough to go to God's house when it's an inconvenience, maybe. Love enough to go to God's house when you may not be feeling quite up to snuff. Love enough to not think of putting anything in the way. I've got to go to God's house. Talked about that a couple weeks ago. Honor thy father and thy mother. You know what breaks families apart? No love. We know this is the last days. 2 Timothy 3. Kids be what? Children be disobedient to parents? Unthankful? Unholy? Thou shalt not kill. If we forgive, that thought would never even enter our mind. We wouldn't think of words of hate. We wouldn't have thoughts of hate. It would be forgiving love. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Faithful love. Thou shalt not steal. Free-handed love. You'll be satisfied with what you have and want to give instead of get. See, it's not about you anymore. It's about your neighbor, and it's about God. Thou shalt not bear false witness or forthright or truthful love. Love bears all things. Go home tonight for your assignment. Read 1 Corinthians 13. Might do you some good. Okay? And then lastly, thou shalt not covet. It's fulfilled love. Because what you have, you'll be satisfied. You know, Paul wrote in Philippians, says, I didn't matter whatever state I'm in, and that's not Texas, okay? Whatever state I'm in, therewith to be what?
Content.
Folks, if you're fulfilled, you won't look for something else. If you're fulfilled, you won't go and you'll be faithful to the one that you're loving. And if that's not happening, what you're saying is you're saying that God's not meeting your needs. And what that's saying is saying that you're bigger than God because He can't meet your needs. You got to fix that. He's right, you're wrong. Get it right tonight. So, slander and judgment demeans people. Slander and judgment denies God's authority. The result of slander and judgment, it says, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? There's a story of a woman who went and she bought a pack of cookies in the little airport store before she got on the airplane, because nobody serves anything anymore except Southwest, and they do little peanut things. And so she sits down by this man and she looks over, and this man's eating a cookie. Cookie that she bought. And the audacity of that guy. He's eating my cookie. He reaches down in there, picks up another one. He says, I'll stop this. She reaches in there, she grabs them all, she eats them. Except for one. She leaves one left, and the man takes the cookie and breaks it in two and gives it to her. She opens up her purse and she sees her pack of cookies in the purse. See, when it's all about me, we make false judgments. We make judgments and we think that other people should serve us and that we're right and they are what? Wrong. See, the result is that it dethrones God's grace. It takes God off the throne and basically derails His grace. That is the actual desire of sin. That's what Satan wanted to do. He wanted to be who? God. He wanted to dethrone God. And God said, I'm not having any of that. You're out of here. But the desire of sin is to dethrone God, remove and replace Him as judge, and attempt to rule in His place. Who is that that's going to judge one another? It says there's one what? Lawgiver. The word for lawgiver means this. One who puts the law in place. And if you start putting a whole bunch of rules that other people have to live by, you're putting yourself and God and taking His place. The other one is judges. The verb is, it's krino, to judge, not to judge right or wrong, but to judge and give a sentence into condemnation. So what this verse is actually saying is this, there's one lawgiver. You don't put yourself in place of God, and then you shouldn't judge anybody. You should not condemn, ever condemn anybody else. You know why? Because we are all condemned, and we all stand condemned if it wasn't for what? God's grace.
Amen.
So the first thing is, it's the desire of sin. The second thing is that when we look at slander and judgment, it's all about us. It's by we think what happens, it makes us make improper judgments. Just like that woman that thought that that man was eating her cookies, she made some assumptions that were what? Wrong. And folks, if it's not based on Bible truth, it's wrong. It's wrong.
Amen.
See, the Bible says in John chapter 7, verse 24, once again, that Sermon on the Mount thing. You know, when Jesus started speaking, this was his first sermon. You ought to listen to it. He says, judge not according to what? The appearance. Check your own handbag to see if it's your cookies or not. But judge what? Righteous judgment. Judgment on what you say, but thus saith the Lord. It is not a sin to judge and rightly divide the word of truth. If that was the case, I could never say that people were in sin. Okay? But what we need to do is we need to judge righteous judgment. And if we dethrone God's grace and we take the place of God in judgment, what else it happens is we forget that Christ took our judgment on the cross. Took our sins and nailed it on the cross. Sent Him to die in our place. Titus chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. It says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Is there any you in there at all? There's nothing in there at all. It's all God. It's the gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. Which He shed on us, what? Abundantly. Through Jesus Christ our Savior. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the what? Hope of eternal life. And folks, when we start picking at people and judging people and slandering people and doing false against people, not only are we breaking God's authority, we're breaking His grace. We're grieving the Holy Spirit. And then it gets even worse. Because we resist grace, then we forget the forgiveness that we have and we do not forgive. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 and 35, there was a story of the king of a servant who owed the king 10,000 talents. And there was no way that the servant could repay. And he asked for the king's mercy, and the king granted it to him. And then once he was freed of that debt, he went to a fellow servant who owed him 100 pence. Not even a decimal mark of what he owed. And said, pay up. Pay up. And he said, oh, just show mercy on me. And he didn't do it. And he had him thrown in prison. And the king was not happy that day. And you know, the king's not happy when he looks down on us who were forgiven by the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. And we don't have the courtesy and the Christian attitude to forgive one another. See, because that illustration comes after Peter comes up to Christ and says, how many times do I need to forgive my brother? In Luke chapter 17, verses 7 through 10, once again, another discussion about forgiveness. You know, if our boss tells us to do something, what would we do? Do it. If your boss tells you to do something, you don't do it. You probably won't be work. He probably won't be your boss for long. Okay? When we're tired, when we don't want to, and Christ tells this parable about servants. They go out and they work in the field every day. And when they get off of their work, they say, ah, it's time to rest. And then the master says, no, go prepare my supper. And then they say, so what do the servants do? Go and prepare supper. Because if they don't, they won't be his servants much longer. And so verse 10 says this. It basically says, That it is the duty of a servant to do what is commanded of him, whether he's tired or not tired, whether he's hungry or not hungry, whether he's hurt or not. The boss said, make a command, do this, and we need to do it. The illustration was, is God tells us to forgive one another, and we need to do it, because he's our boss. We call him Lord Jesus Christ. He's our boss. And we need to follow through with that. It may be something you don't want to do, but God says to do it. And along the way, you need an attitude adjustment. Because we're not walking in the Spirit if we have a bad attitude about it. And if we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill what? The lust of the flesh. So it dethrones God's grace in four ways. And then it defames you. It belittles you. The first thing is it makes you a hypocrite. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 3, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote, the little splinter, in thy brother's eyes, but considerest not the beam in thine own eye? And he says, thou hypocrite. So when you start judging someone else, and we lose sight of the fact that we're all sinners saved by grace, we're putting yourself above somebody else. And you're exalting yourself. And that's totally opposite what Christ says to do. It makes you conceited. How many like conceited people? Oh. So if no one likes conceited people, then we shouldn't be conceited ourselves, right? Right? Romans chapter 12, verse 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend. What? What? Condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own what? Conceits. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be conceited. So James has laid out a pretty good case here that we as Christians shouldn't do this. We shouldn't demean people. We shouldn't deny God's authority. We should demean ourselves. We shouldn't bring people down. And so what's the response to it? Well, found in the first verse. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. See, there's seven things that can happen when you forgive. These might be good to kind of review periodically. The first one is you release and loose others from their guilt and their shame. You know, remember when you were a kid and you did something wrong and you didn't think your mom and dad forgave you and you felt miserable? You know, when you have a close friend and there's something between you and it's breaking that relationship, and you've done something wrong, it feels miserable. Paul writes, he says, I want that sin be exceeding sinful to me. Because he didn't want to break that relationship with God. Because he wanted sin to make him feel miserable, so he would never do it again. And folks, when we have a spirit of forgiveness, and we truly forgive, all bitterness and wrath and anger and all malice gone. Not this little piece I will hold on to. Because see, if faith the size of a grain of mustard seed can move mountains, what can a little bit of bitterness do in your life? Oh my. And when we forgive, we forget. We ask God to forgive us of all our sins. He says He buries them as far as the east is from the west. Buries in the deepest sea. To be what? Remembered no more. You become obedient to God and you give others a blessing. You become obedient to God and give others a blessing. You practice self-control that honors God. You become a magnanimous person, bigger than the hurt. Think of this. What would have happened when Christ was on his mock trial and they spit on him and he spat back? Wow. Or as he's going up to Calvary and people are beating him and mocking him and doing all this other stuff, and he says, I'll show you. See, the Bible says this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. He says, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that what? Judgeth righteously. Amen. Folks, when you wrong a Christian, you're wronging God. And the point is that we need to understand that we need to have the mind of Christ and look at that and see when people treat us like that. You ask yourself, do I treat you like that? It'll change your perspective, folks. It'll change your perspective. When people mistreat you, we mistreat God the same way. And who are we to sit here and be a judge? We let God take care of it. Five, you become Christ-like. See, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 through 18, it says, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are what? Changed. And to the what? Same. Now, tell me here, what does same mean? It means to be just like what you're trying to imitate. So the will of God for us is to be just like Him. To be changed into His glory. Into the same image from glory to glory, which means it's a progression. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So when we get start forgiving people, we become more like Christ. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ for, or God for Christ's sake has for what? Forgiven you. You allow for God to provide godly shame. You let God solve the problem. In Romans chapter 12, verses 19 through 21, dearly beloved, who's Paul writing here? To other Christians. Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for as written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, Sermon on the Mount, love thy enemies. See, God's word doesn't change. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. Or when do we see thee a hungered, or thirsty, or naked? You don't pick and choose. God gives grace to all. God gives mercy to all. Who are we to determine who we're going to give grace and mercy to? Remember the king and the servant that owned 10,000 talents. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. That's not bringing vengeance. That's actually helping him out. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with what? Good. Good. So you allow for God to provide godly shame. And then the last thing is, you prove yourself that you're a child of God. You prove yourself that you're a child of God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 through 15, it says, but we have, earlier in the chapter, it says, but we have the mind of Christ. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. Why? So you can be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke from who? God. The world's going to rebuke you. The world's going to say, Blessed are ye when you are persecuted and reviled for a namesake, for great is your reward in heaven. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, oh, that's like today, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Are we shining as lights? Do we have His image? Do we do the things that we're supposed to? That's called genuine faith. That's the whole purpose that James is writing this letter. So the question tonight is, we need to judge ourselves. Do you have someone in your life or in your sphere of influence that you haven't forgiven? Forgive them. Understand what God has done for you. And be like Him. And if someone has got that, you go to them too. Go read Matthew 18. That'll be another thing today. So 1 Corinthians 13, Matthew 18. Those would be great things to learn on. We need to judge ourselves, because if we judge ourselves, we should not be what? Judged. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day, Lord. We thank You for an opportunity, Lord, to hear Your Word. Father, help us, Lord, to not be judgmental, Lord, but to follow You in true faith. Lord, I pray that if someone does not know You as Savior, Lord, I pray that tonight they come to saving knowledge of You. Lord, I pray that if there's someone that has aught against their brother, that they would get it right tonight. They make a commitment to You tonight, Lord, that they would get this right. Father, help us, Lord. Help us to experience Your grace, and help us to show that grace to other people. We love You. We ask all these things in Your Son's name. Amen.